Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. We're here at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Not only is this one of the best studios in the world, I have one of the best performance coaches in the world, not just on the court, with the biggest names in basketball, and I'm talking about the legends of basketball, but off the court. Welcome Chris Johnson to the Playbook.
Thank you for having me, and it's been a long time coming.
I know. We actually were just at the beach house where we first met as you were developing a game.
Yes.
And we were with the founder of Pictionary and others who were very excited about what you were doing. But I learned very quickly about something that I call expansion. A lot of people in the sports world, both of us being raised in that world, behind the scenes, behind the biggest players in the world, they talk about transition. How do I transition? I believe it's expansion, and we're expanding what we learn to be the best in the world. We're expanding our skills, expanding our knowledge, and expanding our desire. There's no transition. And for you, you are so good at bringing the best out of people,
right?
Not just on the court, but to expand what they're doing on the court to all other aspects of life. What are some of the secrets to get past the ego that, one, I can't transition, or two, it's going to be no problem because I'm an all-star on the court? That means that business is no problem too.
I think number one is being able to see the transition before it happens. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, they wait to replace themselves, or they let someone else replace them. And, you know, dealing with athletes, if you learn how to get ahead of the curve, is what athletes has done their whole life is they go through the process and they try to get ahead of the curve to become the best player they could be. Well, those assets are transferable in life. So whether they're trying to be a good father, a good husband, good business partner, entrepreneur, have their own talk show and podcasts. You see a lot of athletes doing it. I think transitioning, which I call pivoting, is a skill set that not only do we all have to prepare for, but it's something that is so important in life because you'll make so many more pivots in your life. Even when you thought you became, you're still becoming. And so I just think that that's something that we look at on the court, and then I take that dedication, the repetition, the things that you put in to make your one percenter, those things translate into each compartment of your life, each puzzle piece. And you help them transition by looking forward and seeing it before it happens.
You know, one of the interesting things about surrounding myself with the greatest athletes of all time, not just the greatest athletes that are playing today, but of all time,
right?
Whether it be football or baseball, a few of the basketball players, boxers for sure, world champions, unequivocally the best in the world. Most people don't know how much delta they have in their life, meaning that if you're around guys like LeBron or Kobe, that their skills and knowledge are very high.
Yeah.
Right. Like, for example, if David Meltzer wanted to be an NBA player, my basement is so low that even if I had the same delta LeBron had from my basement, I still won't be starting in high school.
Right.
Because that's just the skills that I have, right? And genetic inheritance. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, D-Wade and LeBron and all of these guys, not only do they have high basements,
right,
but it's guys like you that teach them the thing that makes them the legends, which is the delta. What are some of the elements, characteristics, habits that create the delta of someone that already was great when they were 17?
I mean, I think number one is something that I say over and over every day is like, be where your feet are.
Yeah, I remember you telling me the first time I met you.
Be present. A lot of great athletes or great people in general, they learn how to be present in the moment and being able to focus on the task at hand. You have to fall in love with the process and not the end results. So instead of playing for the fourth quarter and what the win would look like, you play one play at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 quarter at a time. And I call it habit stacking. So to become great, there's no like secret formula or like a serum or something. It's easily for everyday people to become great, because it's what you do daily. And it's how you habit stack and creating good habits versus bad habits, and then identifying your bad habits to try to recreate them and make them good habits. So being in a room and being on a court and, you know, being in meetings with the top 1% athlete, you realize that the biggest difference between them and normal people outside of being on the court is their discipline to routine. And when you can focus and you can sacrifice and you can be dedicated to an everyday routine, in the process, you'll find success. And, you know, I always say this, David, this is something that's really dope for entrepreneurs and people that are looking at things. The better that you get at your craft, the less you fail, but you always fail.
Always.
You never stop failing. And so when you look at someone great like LeBron, he's failing right before your eyes. It's just his margin of failure is much smaller. And so when you look at guys that are trying to become great, they'll always chase greatness. You'll chase it the rest of your life, but your window of failure just gets smaller.
And it's so interesting because we talk about those habits. And for me, whether it's entrepreneurs, billionaires, millionaires, celebrities, athletes, entertainers even,
yeah,
they not only all have a desire to be what they must be, but they do stack their habits and they recognize with help of other people mm-hmm. like you, which habits, good habits are aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad habits are interfering with where you want to be or better. And it does take an outside perspective, an outside expert to say, hey, you got a bad habit here.
Right.
And we can't be aware at all times of our good habits or our bad habits. We can be consistent and persistent in the pursuit of our potential. But I see a lot of failures in coaching, mentoring, and teaching, three different aspects of what you do, that they're not capable of really examining and deciphering what those bad habits are mm-hmm. or reinforcing the good ones. What are some of the things that you look for habitually when you have, you know, a consistent pursuit,
right,
but you're looking at something and saying, because I've seen you,
yeah,
and I've seen videos of you.
It's confrontation.
You pick things up.
It's confrontation. And it's not always what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm.
And so when you're looking to coach someone, regardless of their position, regardless of their bank account, regardless of whatever role they have, when you can look them in their eyes and you can be direct, and you build a direct relationship with them that shows that you actually care about the human. The human side of it is more important than anything. The connectability of saying, hey, I'm here with you. This is a safe place and let's go to the next level. And then you can confront. So you have to build relationships, but when you have credibility, it's important that you go in and you be direct and you hold yourself to a higher standard. So if I was coaching someone that's a non-athlete, I'm going to look at their total lifestyle, what they eat, what time they wake up. I know you're an early riser and you have great memory and you can remember stuff. You can recall situations, time and place, you know, and so that shows that your routine and your cadence is really good and you're super consistent, right? So even coaching you, I would look at your strengths, I would look at the weaknesses, I would look at where you want your business to go, and then I would say, all right, David, so here's the game plan. Now let's go. So get your ass up, let's go, and let's get better. And so I looked at coaching as an opportunity to be direct and elevate that person by being a mirror and a true reflection. It's hard to coach from a perspective of wearing a suit, tie, because we may not be able to identify with each other, but my coaching perspectives are just totally different. It's like, hey, let's get up, let's go. We can go for a walk. We can go get coffee. We can go, and then once I get and I find it, boom, and I see where you're going, then that's where I dive right in. And that's where my gifts are.
One of the other aspects of success is a perspective that things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. And so you and I are seen as overnight success. Now, we've known each other
a long time.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
Nope.
And I want you to share your perspective. You know, you are well known as the greatest performance coach, mm-hmm. at least in the NBA, if not in business as well now,
right.
for what you're able and capable of doing for those individuals. But you had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And you didn't just walk on the court and all of these superstars say, oh man, I want Chris Johnson to coach me. I want him to coach my son and my grandkids.
Absolutely.
And that's what happens today.
Right.
But where did it start? And for you, you had to have patience to be able to learn the things, to prepare yourself, to be good enough to work with the world's best.
I mean, I think in life, we have certain things that happen to us, but it's the way we address them and we go after them. So I was playing professional basketball and I ruptured my Achilles at 22 years old. And it's unheard of, but it's because of my work ethic and just a tired muscle, to be honest with you. And at that point, I was faced with making a pivot. And my pivot was to pick up the phone, call my college coach, go back to Texas A&M, and start being a graduate assistant and getting my master's degree in guidance and counseling, which is like sports psychology.
How long did it take you from when you injured your Achilles or when you knew you couldn't play again to calling the coach?
It was within like 2 days.
See?
Because, you know, I'm already thinking about the pivot.
Yeah.
And, you know, fear drives us.
Mm-hmm.
But fear is not real.
I just did a training this morning about that. You're right.
It's not. And in my brain, the fear of failing is what drives me to be the best version of myself. So in that pivot, I had to say, hey, listen, you're not going to be someone that's in the neighborhood with a degree that's saying what type of basketball player you could have been hooping with the young kids coming up. I got to have a greater impact. I know I have other gifts. I was a point guard, so I was a leader. And all I was thinking about was where I was going to be today. Basketball became a vehicle, and it just opened up other doors. So I didn't disconnect from something that was fun. It's a sport. It's walked me into many rooms. It's had me around the whole world. I didn't disconnect, but people don't understand that over the last 23 years, where I'm at today is what I see myself doing. So I got my master's degree while I was coaching because I seen a disconnect between the coaches and the players and how people communicated and educated student athletes about emotional intelligence. And so emotional intelligence to me is a skill set. And so from there, I was able to take steps backwards. And it's like a boomerang effect, or it's like a slingshot to go forward. So I left college coaching where I could have been a head coach, and I went to coach high school. I was like, I'm not developed enough. I don't have enough mistakes to be polished, because I'm looking at old college coaches, and they've been college coach for 20 years, David, and they still didn't have enough experience to become a head coach. Well, why? They never called timeout before.
Mm.
They've never been in situations that allow them to develop experience through the situation. So at 23, I took myself backwards, and I became a high school head coach, where within a year, I was coach of the year. I was the president of the Coaches Association in the state of Texas. I had every coach that had been coaching 30, 40 years underneath me following my direction and me building All-Stars and speaking for Nike. And I went backwards to go forward. And as I was going forward, I started to build the business. Then I thought my ultimate goal was to be in the NBA as a coach or a player.
Mm.
So I took the job with the Houston Rockets. And through taking the job with the Houston Rockets, I realized quickly that working for a corporation could limit my actual skill set of what my life was intended to be doing. And so I went, after 2 years, I went to the GM and I said, hey, can you let me out of my contract? I know what my life.
How old were you?
25.
Yeah.
25. It was moving fast.
Yeah.
And I was just like, It was like, why are you,
you're great.
You're great. But I felt trapped. And basketball was just going to be a vehicle for me. And I couldn't just not connect with people, seeing people go and come, and then you can't build a relationship. And I was like, well, I'll just create a company that's aligned to that, that's parallel with the NBA, and that provides the emotional intelligence and the mindset and the mental fitness part that's important to me. And so over the last 20 plus years, I finally started to understand what my coach's corner is. And people recognize me as being on the court and developing the players, but the one thing I was doing was practicing techniques and concepts of dealing with the best in the world. And now it's time for me, and that's what I've been building my company, Just Win. And Just Win to me is what is important now. And it's a mental mindset company based on mental fitness that allows me to assess, to give you the skill set, and to build this human being from the neck up. So the most successful people I've ever seen in any genre, sport, music, you name it, from here up, like yourself, is next level.
And it has to be. And you have all the techniques, the disciplines, but yep. You also have the degree that has been matured through situational knowledge.
Yes.
And you've never been afraid to utilize the situation without voices in your ears. I was saying, right, good voices, good choices. To finish up, whether the athlete or you, all of us, we hear bad voices.
Yes.
And we listen to them sometimes, you know, what other people think.
Right.
What other people think we think, or what they think we should do. You've, at a very young age, like me, a lot of people don't realize, when I graduated law school, to tell a whole big family of mine, academically oriented, that I was not going to be a real lawyer. I went to one of the best admiralty law schools in the world, graduated very well, top of my class, working for an oil and gas company. I'm going to work in technology. Little did I know, it was technology and venture that led me to run Lee Steinberg someday, which was the dream job for most lawyers, by the way, at the time. So what was it early on for you that said, I appreciate people's opinion, the Rocket's opinion, AMM's opinion, the high school, I'm sure that was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But you've always made decisions based on your divine direction. What was it that you can give us as advice? Because every billionaire to every startup right now are going to be impacted by what other people think.
So, first of all, you create a dream team.
I love that.
Or you call it a winner circle. I got guys like yourself that I always can just pick up the phone and say, hey,
for
David,
sure.
I need this. And so I've created a dream team of people that are there to keep the dream. Now, you have dream stealers.
Yes.
And you have dream keepers. But you have to do a great job of identifying who's who. That's one. So surround yourself with a dream team of people that can keep your dream alive every day. And I think that was one thing. And when you're running a race, everybody's competing. No one wants to address the elephant in the room about competing. I call it competitive collaboration. And I can compete with you and I can collaborate at the same time. We both want the same job. So instead of me running the race watching David, I'm running the race looking forward and running my own race with blinders on. So I'm competing with you, but at the same time, I can collaborate. I can work with you. And so those things help me grow in the business of running my own race, but understanding that other people are running a race also to win. So you have to be competitive. And I know a lot of people say, man, everybody's, this is a competition. For you to get your wife, you got to compete.
Yes, I did.
You got to.
Yeah.
Somebody else will get her. If you don't compete.
Someone is better looking.
They got more money.
Exactly.
It's always more.
Yeah.
And the one thing, like, when you talk to athletes, I think they only realize that they only compete on the court or on the field or on, in their arena. you compete in everything that you do in life. So you take that and then you can collaborate. So being competitive don't mean you can't work with someone in your space and support other people in your space. And this gives you clear vision to be able to run your race and not hear those dream stealers. And I think that's something that I've been able to do. And I know that showing up every day is not just going to get it done.
So true.
I got to have a game plan. I got to have a day-to-day routine. And I got to go beyond unseen hours of eating healthy, putting the right things in my body, fitness, my ability to get up and say, let's go, and do it with myself first. So self-discipline, to me, is something that is so important for anyone, because if you discipline yourself, no one else has to.
There's a big difference between competition compared to comparison. Comparison being the thief of joy, competition being inherent in the desire to be what you must be, which is, to me, the common denominator with over 2,400 episodes of The Playbook.
Yes.
With the biggest names in every genre, the one common denominator from Cameron Diaz to Chris Johnson to Warren Moon has been a desire that they must be what they can be, but no comparison. He is the captain of my team, my dream team keeper himself. He's keeping the dreams of so many people alive. Make sure you reach out to him regardless of you're on the court or off the court. Chris Johnson's here to help bring the best out of you and explain exactly how to get to where you want to be or better. Come play on our team. Chris Johnson, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
My brother.
Dave Meltzer at the SiriusXM Studios in the Wynn in Las Vegas with the incredible Chris Johnson.